reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 790 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Continuing at verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's found on page 1266 in your pew Bibles. And we read verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1134. And we read John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is our text. I believe it was one of those early in the week, 4th of July celebrations. I had an opportunity to make an extended weekend. And my brother-in-law, who also is a pastor, was serving in Belle Plaine, Iowa, and they had a lot of city, small-town festivities going on. So Chris and I packed up our family. We went up to Belle Plaine and hung out for a few days. And while we were there, my brother-in-law often had some projects that he needed me to help with. I can't remember if we were putting in a swing set or a dog kennel, but there was some cement that needed mixing. He hadn't done a lot of that in his life. We got the wheelbarrow out, we poured the cement in, he grabbed the hose and started adding water. We then mixed the cement, which had turned to soup. I looked at my brother-in-law and I said, "You know, we can always add more water. There's a limit to how much cement that we have." And so I reached down, I grabbed the bag of cement, began pouring some more cement in. We took out the garden hoe and started to trowel it and finally got it to the right consistency. And as we were doing that, I said to my brother-in-law, "You know, there's a sermon illustration in here someplace." And he said, "You know, I was just thinking that." Do you know what it is? And I said, no, but I'm sure we'll figure it out sometime. Today is that day. It might surprise you how often pastors, and I'm not just speaking for myself, but maybe not for all of us, are sitting around doing what seems to be something mundane, something that has nothing to do with church or scripture or spirituality at all. But our wheels are spinning with regard to the next sermon coming up, or some issue in Bible study, or even counseling that we're trying to address. It doesn't look spiritual, but spiritual things are going on. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm always living in a hyper state of spirituality. So I'll also confess to you that sometimes when you think I'm at my spiritual height, preaching, for instance, a sermon, the words of God are coming out of my mouth, and you think he's in a spiritual zone, but my mind is on that guy in the back whose head just nodded off. And as I pause in the sermon, you can audibly hear a snore coming out of him. No, we're all sinners, and while we might strive to be spiritual all the time, we don't always succeed. But I shared that moment with you this morning because it kind of illustrates what the Apostle Paul is setting, and actually not just the Apostle Paul, but Christ himself, is setting for our lives. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants to be present, conversing with us much more often than we probably allow him to do in our lives. Far too often we limit our spiritual moments to, well, being in church or Bible class. There's that generally brief moment for a lot of us before we sit down to eat. We offer a prayer that maybe takes 30 seconds or a minute at best. Or as we lay down our heads to sleep at night, having a prayer or maybe a devotion. But when we're out mixing cement, or buying some Fritos at the grocery store, standing in one of those lines trying to make that last-minute Christmas purchase. At those times in our lives, prayer is not what's always on our minds, especially as some dude in front of us is arguing about 2 cents. And the lines are stretching for miles. No. Prayer, conversing with God and contemplating his words and his gifts and his promises and his will for us are not things that are always on our minds, though they should be. But the more they are, there are some blessed effects, as Paul describes in our text for today. But let us begin with these words, actually the second phrase in his epistle. pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Every moment in life has a spiritual significance. In some way, God is teaching us, guiding us, directing us. And it's not just His will, if you will, that He wants us to obey. He wants us contemplating His gifts and His promises. Because the more we do that, the more our lives are transformed with joy and with peace. Rejoice always. That's God's goal for us. And it is an achievable goal based on His gifts and His promises to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. God tells us that in everything, Romans 8, in everything, He is at work for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. God is at work in everything for good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Now, if you're vaguely familiar with that Bible verse, what I'd like you to do right now is to say, Amen! You Lutherans are not well trained in that kind of response. But I think most of you mumbled something at that moment. God is at work in everything for good. That means that in everything that is going on in our life, there is some good to be found. And if there's good to be found, there's reason to rejoice. But why don't we see that good? Why is it sitting in that line with that person up front arguing about 2 cents? That we're not thinking anything good at that moment. Because we're not thinking about it from God's point of view. We're not looking at it as maybe an opportunity to bear witness to somebody in line behind us. To talk about the real meaning of Christmas. We're not thinking about it as from the viewpoint of God's gifts and God's promises and the joy that He is bringing to us. We're just totally wrapped up with ourselves and what we're trying to get done that day, as if that's all that matters. But there is always good. God promises us that. And He illustrates it to us in the greatest way, in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the world, the greatest enemy of all is death. It's something that we cannot conquer. And particularly when, for instance, someone younger dies, a child or someone in the prime of their life, especially when that death may become suddenly. People are overcome with grief. They think that nothing good can come of this. Why, that person had their whole life ahead of them. But in Christ, we can look at it from a different point of view, can't we? Those who die in Christ still have their whole life ahead of them. And as Paul reminds us, our current sufferings can't compare with the joy that is to be ours. And if God can transform even the moment of death, and through Christ enable us to find something good in it, how much more able is He to able to transform everything that happens in our life? But we won't find it if we're not looking for it. And that's why our life needs to be an unceasing prayer. Looking not just at the moments of worship, the prayers before our meals, or when we lie down at night, or when we get up in the morning, but looking at every moment as a place where God is present with us, where God's working for some kind of good. Maybe not for us individually, but maybe through us for someone else. And when our life becomes that life of constant prayer, then what Paul tells us is that these other blessings will also accrue to us. We will be able to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul wonderfully illustrated that in his own life. I've often encouraged you to read the book of Philippians, especially if you haven't done so lately. Paul, stuck in prison, in chains, with all kinds of problems in his churches. And yet every time he contemplates either his chains or the problems that are going on, he finds a reason to rejoice. So much so that epistle written from prison, where Paul was in prison because he was doing what God wanted him to do, is the most joyful book of all Scripture. He not only believed, but he knew that God was at work for good in all circumstances. And so, my fellow Christians, let us heed God's word, the will which God has in Christ Jesus for you and for me. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.